All right. Good morning, everybody else. Welcome back to Missions Emphasis Weekend, day two. We had a great time at the missions banquet last night. We had some, what did we have? We had Indian food, we had Thai food, we had West African food, we had Mexican food, and some good old American food along with it. And we got to hear from Antonio Navarrete down in Mexico. So that was really cool, too. So that was fun. Thanks again to the missions committee for all of their hard work and organizing that. And now today, we're going to look at God's word and try to catch a glimpse of God's heart for the nations. For those of you who missed it last night or who don't know me, my name is Ben Girth. My family and I are your missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and we're translating the Bible for the Jita people of Tanzania, East Africa. And we have some massively exciting news for you on our progress. We have now finished translating every book of the New Testament into the Jita language. And so praise God for that. It's a huge milestone. And here's what it means. It means that we've gone through each of the individual books. We've checked them. We've double-checked them to make sure that they're clear and accurate and natural. We've tested them out in community with Jita people to make sure that they're understandable. We had it checked by a translation consultant. We had it reviewed by village elders and community leaders. We've done that now for every individual book of the New Testament. Now our job is to print the entire New Testament as a book, as a single volume. And I thought, silly me, I thought, well, that's easy. We've done all the hard work, right? Now you just hit print and just go, right? Yeah, silly me. It's a massive job to format a book. I didn't realize how many different parts of a book there are, and they all have to be formatted exactly right. Well, that's one side of it. But then the other side is that we have to go back through and make sure our whole translation is consistent. Like, to make sure that we've done the spelling consistently across the entire New Testament. Do you know how many verses are in the New Testament? 7,957 verses. We have to make sure that we've translated key terms consistently across the entire New Testament. And then we actually need to go back and revise some of the older books because they were translated 10 years ago. And we've just learned so much about the Jita language over that time. We need to apply that knowledge to those older books and make sure that they're beautiful. We've got a lot of work cut out for us, but it's exciting because we can see the finish line. We're one step closer to seeing Jita people holding the New Testament in their hands, in their own language, for the first time ever. So we're very excited about that. Oh, and because we're wrapping up the New Testament, we've actually jumped into the book of Genesis. And so I've got a sneak peek for you here. Here's Genesis 1:1 in the Jita language. It sounds like this. Well, roughly sounds like this. Kubwambiro awo, nyamuanga abumbire orwire naicharo. It's such a foundational verse, isn't it? But isn't it crazy to think that the Jita people don't have that verse? Well, now they do. I mean, it's we've got a rough draft of it, but it's such a foundational verse that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So we're so excited to translate the book of Genesis now and provide that to the Jita people. Well, thank you so much for your partnership in this gospel ministry. We truly could not do this without you. We really appreciate this church and the pastors of this church and the missions committee and many of you individuals and family members who have joined our team in this gospel ministry. So thank you for that. We appreciate your prayers and your encouragement and your financial support. It really means a lot to us. Well, now let's look at our text for today in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. You're probably already there. Revelation 7, 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So here's my prayer for this morning. May the Lord kindle a passion in our hearts for the nations, so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. Let me say that again. May the Lord kindle a passion in our hearts for the nations so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. And Father, that is our prayer this morning. We do ask that you would use your word to work in our hearts, that you would stir our hearts, open our eyes to see the nations, the people groups who don't know you. And I pray that our hearts would break to think about individuals who do not know Jesus. And as you stir us and open our eyes, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us the courage to act, to make changes, to choose a path of obedience. We pray now that you would use your word to impact our hearts. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Revelation is a vision, right, that God gave to the apostle John. And this vision shows God's ultimate conquest over evil and the glorious eternal state for those who believe in Jesus. And here in chapter 7, we see a beautiful picture of what that eternal state will be like. This is what the new earth will be like. And so I want to read it one more time, and I'd like you to participate with me because this is really fun. So why don't you read the parts that are in quotation marks with me in verses 10 and 12. You see those little chunks that the people are singing and praising? So when we get to that, you join along with me. Ready? So I'll start in verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice. Ready? Join me here. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, join me again, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Awesome, right? On the new earth, there will be this massive, innumerable crowd of people all praising God together. There will be people there from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group. And it says they will be clothed in white robes. Well, what's going on with the white robes? Well, the white robes symbolize the righteousness of Jesus. Everyone who is repenting of their sins and trusting Jesus as their Savior is clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. It means our sins have been washed away. We've been made clean and pure and holy. God has declared that we are in a right relationship with Him because of Jesus. And then what else does it say here? It says these people are, what are they holding in their hands? Palm branches. Doesn't that remind you of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? Remember what the people were saying? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So these people on the new earth are celebrating the victory of King Jesus. They're cheering and shouting and singing with all their hearts because Jesus has conquered sin and death and hell. And so they sing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins. But then he rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and Satan and death and hell. And so these people here, they're celebrating that they get to live forever with Jesus. And Ventura, that's our hope too, isn't it? Isn't that our hope? Because in this life, we face hardships, don't we? We endure suffering. We battle against temptation, but we know we have hope. We know that Jesus will return, and he will make everything new, and we will live forever with him. And Ventura, listen. there will be Jita people on the new earth praising God together with us. I know I've told you this before, but I have to say it again, that one of the things that I'm excited about on the new earth is introducing all of you to the Jita people who will be there with us. Pastor Timothy, this is my friend Magessa. Magessa, this is my friend Timothy. That's going to be so awesome. It's going to be like worlds collide. We're going to have so much to talk about, right? But the Jita tribe is only one people group. Revelation 7 says there will be people on the new earth from every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language. So again, my prayer for this morning is this. May the Lord kindle a passion in our hearts for the nations so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. And I think one of the best ways to kindle that passion is to look at God's word and try to catch a glimpse of God's heart for the nations. So let's start with Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission passage. This is before or right after Jesus died and rose again, and right before he ascended back into heaven. He gathers his followers together, his disciples together, and he gives them this one final command. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, many of us have heard that passage before, right? King Jesus commands his disciples to go and do what? Make more disciples. And so let's just remind ourselves here, what is a disciple? A disciple is a devoted follower, a student, an apprentice in training. How do we become disciples of Jesus? By repenting of our sins and trusting Jesus for salvation and surrendering our lives to follow and obey Jesus as our king, right? But Jesus says, go and make disciples of whom? All nations. In the Bible, that word nations usually refers to non-Jewish people groups, Gentiles, the godless, pagan, heathen, idol worshipers. Jesus says, go and make disciples of them, all nations. Now, I'm trying to imagine how this must have sounded to Jesus' first disciples, all right? Let's just try, okay? I'm just hypothesizing here. I can just imagine one disciple raising their hand. Jesus, you want us to go make disciples of them? I mean, they're outside of God's covenant promises. They're the enemies of God, right? And Jesus says, exactly. And another disciple raises his hand. But Jesus, remember that song that we used to sing at synagogue? The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. It's right there in Psalm 10:16. Remember that one? Or what about Psalm 9:5? Don't worry, I won't sing anymore. It says, you have rebuked the nations. You've made the wicked perish. You've blotted out their name forever and ever. Or what about Psalm 59:5? You, Lord God of hosts, are God of Israel. Rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Spare none of those who treacherously plot evil. I can just imagine the disciples saying, Jesus, you yourself told us in Matthew 24:9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be, check this out, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And Jesus, you want us to go make disciples of them? And Jesus says, exactly. Now, real quick side note here, just a little application moment here. Ask yourself this question. Are there any certain people groups that you believe God can't save them? Are there certain cultures or religions maybe that you think they're just too wicked for God to redeem? Or maybe are there even some individuals that you just think are just beyond the reach of the gospel? If that's you, can I just urge you right now to repent of that? And pray and ask God to kindle a passion in your heart for all peoples, so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. Because God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. Yes, God's word does say those things that I mentioned before about those who disobey him, but that's not all that God's word says about the nations. In fact, even Jesus himself, right after he says this, here's what he says in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's Jesus right after that other thing he said. So yes, the nations will hate you, but they're lost. What else should we expect from lost people? In fact, when we consider the lost condition of the nations, that should motivate us even more to proclaim the gospel throughout the entire world. If we truly grasp how lost people really are, it should empower us to boldly share the hope and peace and joy that we have in Jesus. And notice here the patience of our Lord. He's willing to wait. You see that? He's willing to wait. He graciously gives people time to repent. He wants the nations to turn to him in repentance and faith before the end. That's why he sends us out to declare the good news of his kingdom to the end of the earth. God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. So check this out. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. All the way back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. This is where God was reaffirming his covenant promises with Abraham. So all the way back there, check this out. God says to Abraham, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Whoa, way back there? Way back in Genesis? That's so cool. So God is promising Abraham that one of his descendants is going to bring a blessing to the nations. That's talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is the descendant of Abraham who accomplished salvation on the cross and now freely offers the blessing of forgiveness and cleansing and adoption and reconciliation and peace and hope and joy. Anyone from any nation who believes in Jesus will enjoy those blessings. God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. Or look over to Psalm 67 with me. Turn with me to Psalm 67, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 67, 1 through 5. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. See, God's plan for salvation includes the nations. And check this out. God wants to use us as his instruments to share the joyful gospel message with the nations. Look at verse 2 there. Look at the very first word of verse 2. What is it? That. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Do you see that? See, those of us who are enjoying the blessing of God's favor should be declaring God's power and glory among the nations so that they too can enjoy the blessing of God's favor. It's a beautiful replicating cycle. Those of us who have discovered profound joy in knowing Jesus should tell others so that they can discover that joy, and in turn, they will go tell others, right? God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. Or think about Isaiah. Isaiah 49. So here's where God is talking about sending his Messiah to gather his people to himself in salvation. And look at what it says in Isaiah 49, verse 6. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to where? The end of the earth. See, God's purpose in sending the Messiah was to not only save the Israelites who believe in him, but even the Gentiles who believe in Jesus will be saved. Jesus came as a light to show people their sin and show people the path of forgiveness and salvation. God's plan is to spread the good news about Jesus to the end of the earth, and he wants to use us as his messengers. He wants us to take the gospel and clearly communicate it to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Or what about Zechariah chapter 2? Zechariah 2, 10 and 11. It says this, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I will come and dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." This is a prophecy about a future time when God will dwell among his people. Does that remind you of anything? Like John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is the Savior who lived, died, and rose again so that anyone who believes in him will be joined to the Lord. I love that imagery in this verse. Joined to the Lord. Anyone from any nation who trusts in Jesus has God's Spirit living in them. They are in Jesus. Jesus is in them. They are truly joined to the Lord in intimate covenant union. God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. Or just think about some of the other stories from the Old Testament. Think about Jonah. You remember that great story? I love the story of Jonah. The Jita people love the story of Jonah. I think because they're fishermen, they know storms on the water and stuff like that. They totally connect with the book of Jonah. Anyway, God told the prophet Jonah to go deliver a message to whom? To the Ninevites and those horrible, pagan, nasty Ninevites, right? Eventually Jonah finally goes and he delivers God's message. And what happens to the people of Nineveh? They repent and believe in God, right? The whole point of the book of Jonah is to show that God is merciful and compassionate on lost souls, even the souls of those nasty Ninevites. Anyone from any nation who repents of their sins and trusts God will be saved. Or think about Rahab. How did that one get into the Bible? Rahab, really? She's a Canaanite prostitute from Jericho? And somehow she shows up in the book of Hebrews and the book of James as an example of faith in God. How did that go? Because God's plan for salvation has always included the nations, right? Well, eventually, the disciples of Jesus figured this out, that when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, he really means all nations, all people groups. You remember when Peter figured this out, right? In Acts chapter 10, you remember what Peter did in Acts chapter 10? He went to the house of this guy named Cornelius. Remember that? Cornelius was a Gentile. And so Peter goes and he shares the gospel with Cornelius and his family. The Holy Spirit does this powerful reviving work in their hearts and they repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. And Peter's just standing there, shocked, like stunned. Like he's just standing there with his mouth hanging open. What just happened here? He finally pulls himself together and he baptizes a whole crowd of Gentile believers. Because God's plan for salvation has always included the nations. But Ventura, consider this. There are millions of people on earth right now who've never heard about Jesus. Right now, today, there are millions of people who've never heard the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. For example, like the Atish Baz people of northern India. There's about 4,000 people in this people group. Their name comes from two words meaning fire and play. And they probably got that name. I know this sounds kind of funny, but they probably got that name because this people group is known for manufacturing fireworks. I don't know. That's what it says. And the Indian government has labeled this people group one of the other backward class of peoples. How would you like to be called the backward class of peoples? Because they're educationally and socially disadvantaged. This people group is 100% Muslim. Zero Christians. Who will shine the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ into that people group? Or what about the Yora people of Peru? The Yora people of Peru. There's only about 450 people. I looked up their approximate location on Google Earth. All you see is jungle. Hundreds of miles of jungle and some winding rivers. That's it. Anytime outsiders get close to their village, they just move deeper into the jungle. Who's going to tell them about the love of God and how they can be reconciled to God through Jesus? Or think about the Baloch people of Pakistan. The Baloch people of Pakistan. Over 7 million people. Ventura, listen. 7 million souls. 100% Muslim, zero Christians. And what's worse, within this people group, there's a terrorist organization called Baloch Liberation Army, and they've been responsible for the genocide of any non-Baloch minorities in their region. They've murdered doctors, school teachers, and children. Who's going to go tell them that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him? Or let's just take the entire country of Indonesia. Indonesia is made up of 17,000 islands. Get your canoe ready to go, right? 710 different languages spoken in this country. 235 unreached people groups. Every red dot on the map represents an unreached people group. You walk out of one unreached village, you take two steps, there's another unreached village right there. In this country of Indonesia. Who will go and make disciples of all these people groups? And that brings us back to Revelation 7. The glorious vision of the new earth. A vast crowd of believers from every tribe, every language, every nation, every people group. Now, I can imagine some Jita people being there. In fact, I know some Jita people will be there. Praise God for that. But quite honestly, it's difficult for me to picture any Atish Baz people being there. It's hard to imagine any Yora people being there or any Baloch people being there or any of these tribes from Indonesia being there. And that should break our hearts. Brothers and sisters, that should break our hearts. May the Lord kindle a passion in our hearts for the nations so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. Now I realize that this can feel pretty heavy and burdensome, right? I know, I feel it. Thinking about millions of people who don't know Jesus, it is a burden. It does feel grievous. But in some ways, that can be a good thing, right? Because God can use that burden and that grief that we're feeling in our hearts right now to open our eyes and kindle our hearts and stir us up and move us to choose the path of obedience in fulfilling God's kingdom mission, right? God can use that. But I don't want to end our time just with that. I'm praying that God will use that as part of the motivation for this morning, but I don't want to end there. I have to tell you about one more people group. And it's the Simbiti people from Tanzania. Simbiti is one of the language groups that we work with in our office. In our office in Tanzania, we work with 8 different language groups, actually. I primarily focus on the Jita language group, but we're actually all together. We're working on 8 different languages. And so we're always helping each other out. We're always working with each other. And over the years, I've worked very closely with the Simbiti team on various jobs in their translation. One of the dearest friends that we had in Tanzania was Pastor Wanse. He's there on the step with a black shirt on. That's Pastor Wanse. And his wife Lucy there is in the cool yellow dress. And I just, I really appreciate his passion for the Lord and his heart to translate the Bible into his language, the Simbiti language. He's one of the translators on the Simbiti translation team. And very exciting news that just last month, the Simbiti people celebrated the dedication of their New Testament. So that was super exciting for our office in Tanzania because this was the first language group in our office to have their printed, published New Testament. I told you that we, the Jita team, were working on that, but the Simbiti, they were the first group in our office to get their printed New Testament. And so just last month, they dedicated it. They had this huge party, this huge celebration. It was such an exciting moment for our group in Tanzania. But what's even more exciting than that is that 20 people repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And listen to this. My friend Pastor Wanse is baptizing them this morning. Is that awesome or what? Praise God for that. And Ventura, you had a part in that kingdom ministry. Get your brain around that. Because you're partnering with us, and I've worked with the Simbiti team. This celebration we get to claim part of this celebration too. We get to celebrate 20 Simbiti people repenting of their sins and putting their faith in Jesus. And so now, on the new earth, after I'm done introducing you to the Jita people who are going to be there, I'll take you over to the Simbiti people that are going to be there too and introduce you to them. May the Lord kindle a passion in our hearts for the nations so that we will pray and give and go until people from every nation believe the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and become devoted followers of him. So Ventura, just take a couple minutes right now on your own, just quietly praying to the Lord and asking him to do a work in your hearts, asking him to maybe make some changes where there needs to be some changes, asking him, what can you do to pray and give and go for the sake of the nations? Just take that time now.
Stand with me, please, to hear these words of benediction. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.